Welcome again to Insight Nature versus Nurture, a podcast designed specifically to broaden your perspectives of health through nutrition and lifestyle. So plug in, sit back, and enjoy the ride.
Hello.
Yes, you hear me well?
Yes, I hear you. How you doing, Joel?
Good. I'm doing great, and you?
Good, man. Welcome to the show. Just waiting on Greg.
Yes.
Buck short and a day late. That's his style.
Yeah. So tonight we're talking about weight loss.
Yes. We're going to cover that big, expansive subject. We're going to hit on a few points and try to keep it within 30 minutes.
Hi.
How you doing, Greg?
Good evening, Greg.
Good evening,
buddy.
In body only.
Okay. And let's get to it. After a tough day of sprinting, Greg.
Yeah. Sprinting gets done.
That's good.
This is what you get, okay? You get what you get. Makes no sense.
That's absolutely, that's the deepest thing I've ever heard you say.
You get what you get, okay?
Yeah. I say that to my kids. You get what you get and you don't get upset.
It rhymes. I like it.
Right?
Knock it up.
Right?
Yeah. You get what you get and don't get upset.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Wasn't he on crack or something like that for most of his life, or didn't he? Dr. Seuss. Wasn't he like openly like a crack addict or a cocaine addict or something?
If you read some of his books,
it makes sense. Yeah, right.
Definitely, because it's like whoa, but
we don't judge.
But wasn't like. I don't know how old he was. This is where my brain is. It's not here. Was he like back in like the days when Coca-Cola was like, was Coke in it?
Probably.
I don't know,
he was pretty old.
I don't know.
Maybe.
That's above our pay grade. Let's stick to weight loss. How about
right.
that?
Yeah.
All right.
So why don't we start by, I know that we could probably talk about it for 2 or 3 hours. What I like to talk about is myth. Like, there's a lot of myth about weight loss, such as, you know, stuff like calories are all equal, or, you know, some people think that losing weight is a linear thing where they lose the same amount, like the 1 pound a week, you know, because that can be deceiving. You know, you're looking at the scale and all of a sudden, oh, zero this week, or, you know, last week with three. So
I'm going to be really useless for you guys in this one, because I don't even think I've lost a pound in my life.
Well, listen, what about that challenge? What about that challenge that we just put out this week, Greg? Like,
I think I was 4 pounds heavier.
You're just dyslexic. That's your problem.
Maybe that could be it too. I think I'm at the point in my life though when like I look at food and I get fatter. I get heavier.
Right.
I don't even have to eat it.
But that's a good topic as well tonight. So let's address Joel's topic first. Is you're right, Joel. I mean, you know, from your training perspective, mathematically you can burn a certain amount of calories, but it doesn't always equate the same weight loss daily and weekly. So what I typically discuss with people about is it's looking at the average.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So your body has like there's weight and then there's fat loss. Losing weight and fat loss aren't always the same thing. Right. So they tend to someone's moving around a lot. I can hear it. Settle down, Greg.
I don't think it's me. Man, you think I'm moving? You think I'm burning any more calories than not a chance.
So it's not. Your body fluctuates with water, inflammation, sodium. Like there's a lot of variables that attach themselves to weight. But the thing is that with body fat loss, it is like looking at, and that's why I always encourage people to weigh themselves daily.
Okay.
Because what happens is you're collecting what's called metadata. You're seeing yourself every day so that you can start to look at the trend of the number, right? Not so much the number itself, but where it's trending. And you'll see that there's an overall loss. So it's an average loss based on however many days, however many weeks, and however many months.
So it's better to do it every day than every week, because some people will say, I'll wait a week so I see results, but then it can be deceiving. And it's all a big mental thing too, right? Because it's all you're working hard, you're working out, trying to eat well, and then at the end of the week, you see no results, and that could be devastating, right?
Right. And just because you don't see those results, like in my practice at Simply for Life, it's typically how we started was there was a weekly weigh-in, so people would come in and they get on the scale. I spent probably 80% of my time, and in there with these people trying to dispel or try to discredit the scale, because maybe they had a bad night's sleep the day before they came in for their weigh-in, or maybe they had salt, or maybe they were going, if you're female, maybe it's that time of the month and you're going through your menstrual cycle, you're retaining water because of hormones. So it's kind of a crapshoot or roll of the dice. But if you're weighing yourself every day, you're going to see an average fluctuation. But that average fluctuation is going to remain roughly about the same. So you're going to see this probably 2 to 3 pound fluctuation with the average person. But that 2 or 3 pound fluctuation is going to represent itself between different numbers. Okay, so if I'm 195 today and then 197 tomorrow, and if I'm looking to lose weight, if I measure my weight every day, then I should be my top weight. So if I lose 2 pounds a week, my top weight should be, right, 195, right. And my bottom weight now will have a new low of about 193. So I'm still fluctuating those same 2 to 3 pounds, but the ceiling comes down and the floor drops as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes, yeah.
But you can't see that unless you're weighing yourself every day.
True.
Okay.
Yeah, that answers the question.
Good. And in regards to the calories, calories are not a nutritional component. So meaning there's no nutrients to a calorie. So in a test tube, hermetically sealed environment with all the science behind it, yes, a calorie is a calorie. It's a unit of heat, okay? But the thing is in the body, Greg,
yes,
or whoever, it's noisy.
That ain't me, but I'm telling you, I can barely even keep be alive right now.
It's noisy, man. You're loud.
Let me look at my microphone. I might.
I think Joel's getting extra calorie burn in there or something. I don't know.
He is. He must be. I think he's running. He's showing us
no,
out. I think
he's running. I'm sitting still. Jogging.
I think he's jogging when he's talking to us.
I'm afraid maybe to touch anything, so I lose you guys. I don't think. I don't know.
No, listen, if anybody loses anything, it's going to be me, my track record.
Right.
If only they knew what you were talking
right?
about.
Right, yeah.
I personally don't hear any feedback or anything like that.
I hear a little shuffling, like someone's like moving a glass, like a glass of water around.
Yes, a glass of water.
If that's the case, then you're all right, okay? Then But if it's anything else, you're done, okay?
I am drinking water.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. Okay. Good, Greg. All right, Greg, Joel, you're good. You're safe. So the whole calorie thing is we've been focusing on calories in terms of what's called thermodynamics. You burn more calories than you take in, you're going to lose weight. And that is true. Right, Joel?
Right.
Thermodynamics, you burn more, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's pretty much in terms of nutrition, that's pretty much the only fundamental basic science that there is. Like that's pretty much universal. Now, the thing is that it's your nutrient content. It's your macro balance. It's your nutrition of your food that determines what it is that you're losing, whether or not you're losing muscle or losing bone density or losing fat or losing water.
Right.
Right. So I think losing weight is, and everybody's capable of losing weight with their willpower and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, the reason why people aren't capable of maintaining the weight loss is because they're not doing it through balanced nutrition.
Right.
Okay. So weight loss is all about burning more calories than you take in. And there's two ways of doing it. You could burn more calories through movement, or you could decrease the calorie intake. Now, the issue with that is that the body responds negatively if you cut your calorie intake too much. The body adapts as a survival mechanism. So if I cut my calories 500 calories a day, right? So 1 pound of body fat is 3,500 calories. So if I cut my calories 500 a day below what my body needs to survive, so if I reduce it and put myself in a deficit by 500 calories, times that by 7, that's 3,500 calories. That's a pound of body fat that I can lose.
Okay.
All right. But the issue is with cutting calories is there's nutrition associated to those calories, right? Like if you say cut 2 or 3 slices of bread, say 3 slices of bread around 500 calories, you're also cutting out the carbohydrate, you're cutting out the protein and the fat that the bread may have. So you're cutting out the macros that attach themselves to those calories.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cut your calories too low, there comes a point where your body starts to notice the nutritional deficit.
Right.
And that's why people plateau.
Right.
Okay.
Is there a magic number where like a certain number you shouldn't go below, a certain number below your maintenance level calories?
It depends, Joel, on how many times you've dieted, because the body starts to learn, oh, you know, these calories that they're cutting, I've been down this road, and it usually leads to nutrient deprivation, which means starvation.
Okay.
So that's why every time you diet, it becomes harder and harder, because the body is becoming diet resistant.
Right.
So this, my friend, is why diet and exercise are so important, because you can double the caloric expenditure through a front door, back door strategy by not taking in 500 calories and reducing your calories, okay, and eating more nutrient dense food. So you could drop 500 calories a day by eating smarter and still have the same, if not maybe even more nutrients in your body.
Right.
Because you're eating more nutrient dense, calorie-less foods. Like nature's made it perfect for us. Like an apple, cucumbers, like vegetables, fruits, things like that. They're very nutrient dense, but they're very low in calories,
mm-hmm.
right? It's when you get into the refined foods that you get a high calorie and a low nutrient. Okay, so that's another conversation. Again, we could go on like this, but so you cut back about 500 calories in your diet, in your daily intake, and the body's not very aware of it. It's not raising any alarms. And then you burn an additional 500 calories a day through exercise and movement. There's 1,000 calories a day right there that a diligent, focused person can lose. That's 2 pounds of body fat a week.
Yeah, that's fat loss, not weight loss.
That exactly, that's fat loss. And fat is enormous. Fat is 3 times the size of muscle. So it might not seem like you're breaking any land speed records by losing 2 pounds, because everybody wants to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks and all these aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. But the more aggressive you get, the more protective your body gets. So eventually your body stops and then it recoils. It goes back up to the weight that it felt safer at. Because mm-hmm. remember, starvation is sure death. Your body recognizes starvation as death. It's the number one killer of human beings since the dawn of time. So your body will say, no, I'd rather be overweight than deal with starvation. So it goes right back to its recognized position again. So at 2 pounds of body fat, my goodness, like you drop 10 pounds of body fat and you're down more than a size and a half. Like that's a huge, huge amount of body fat.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get lighter though, the body becomes like a relative weight loss, meaning someone who's 350 pounds can lose 10 pounds faster than someone who's 180 pounds.
Right. That makes sense.
Right? Because the body's more, it's like, wow, you know, I've got a lot of this adipose tissue or body fat to get rid of. So it's not necessarily protective of it. But when you get into the last percentages of that body fat, you're going to find it difficult, because the body's like, why are we getting rid of this again? Like your body has to feel very, very, very secure
right
to get rid of that fat. Cause that fat is somewhat protective as well.
Right.
Right. Too much of it is detrimental to your health, but too little of it, and your body's thinking it's like spending your savings account. You really have to be very comfortable in your income to spend your savings account or your retirement money. Like you need to know that influx of cash is going to be there forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, the first thing they do is they join the gym and they cut their calories back, all right, to lose weight. But what they don't understand is the balance of nutrition. And this is where people like us can help them, is get them to understand the quality of the food that they're putting in and create that caloric reduction, because there has to be a calorie. I don't care if you're in ketosis or whatever, you still need to eat less than you burn. But the thing is you cannot go too low in your nutrients or else the body will protect you. Right. And that's where you hit that wall. That's where that plateau comes from.
Yeah, because...
All right. And oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because a lot of people are looking for shortcuts, including me. I've done it too. Like, there are times in my life I wanted to shred or, you know, get leaner, and wondered if there was a way to do this without calculating calories, because that's a lot of work in your daily act.
It is.
It's a lot of work to do that every single day. Nowadays, there are, yeah, you know, applications that helps you with that. But like, if you're writing it down, like, it takes so much time. And so people, you try to kind of eyeball it or just, you know, ballpark. Okay, I kind of feel good eating this amount of food without really knowing the amount of calories. It seems like it kind of works.
Man, you need to plan. If you don't have a plan, you'll fail. I'm testament to that. But it's so, like, you just hit it in the head, the nail on the head. It's hard to do. It takes hard time. Yeah. It's to plan and to. And then, oh, what do I eat? And you get bored of what you eat in 2 days, and it's just like you.
All right, let's hit on that, Greg. That's a big one. Okay, so yes, it's hard to do, but the thing is it worth it, right? If you're, you know, more morbidly obese, hey, if what are you saying? You know, right? No, but I'm like that's not a derogatory term. That's a medical.
It's a swear
term.
Word you're to me, though. Above, okay?
Right? When you're about 60 pounds overweight, you're in the morbidity range, right? So what happens is people are, the number one, it's not hard, because it's harder to be obese and not fit in the clothes that you want to wear and not play with your kids and not have the energy. Like that is hard.
Very true.
Right? When you switch the terminology from calories and fat and this and food into finances, people that manage their bills, their debits and credits, they keep their receipts, they keep track of the money that they spend, all of these things, these people tend to live better because they make the money that they work for last longer.
They're like, better financial, right? Health, absolutely.
They're more efficient. So imagine, like, why wouldn't we track our food? Why wouldn't we keep track of our food? Why wouldn't we keep track of our workouts to know, okay, this is what I spent and this is what I –
But earned, it's stress. It's right? Stress, and you know, and people, you know, I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that, Neil. Okay.
Right, but the thing, but hold on, again, all right, and you're speaking for the common person, and these are the people that I work with. Imagine if you're diagnosed with heart disease because of your morbidity. Like, my father died early because he was overweight and he had an enlarged heart, and he died from congestive. Right, or he had vascular dementia because his heart got too big, and because it had to carry that massive frame, right? So the heart grows in order to pump through this enlarged body, and it got to a point it couldn't pump properly, so it was decreasing oxygen to his brain, so he developed, right, dementia. So, but imagine if I went to him and said, listen, in this file here is a meal plan, and what I can do is help you so that you can add, for every 10 pounds you lose, you add a year onto your life expectancy over 20 years, right? 10 pounds of body fat is roughly a kilometer of blood vessel. It takes a beat off your heart per minute. So for every 10 pounds you lose, you drop, or you add 1 year on your life, all right? Okay. Now imagine you go over to the cancer ward right now, or you talk to someone who's dying from COVID-19 and you say, listen, I could give you one more year, right? They would bend space and time and give you everything in the world to get that one year back. But yet here we are saying that statistically, you know, 1 in 2 die from heart disease. Right, 1 in 3 are diagnosed with heart disease. Sorry, 1 in 3 with diabetes, 1 in 7 with certain forms of cancer, and dementia is on the rise and about to take over all of them. So here we are saying, okay, you know what? If you track your food, people, and you talk to an expert that knows their ass from their elbow, this can be prevented.
Mm-hmm. But it's right? It's our nature, right? We're lazy in nature, and it's like a car or anything else. People don't tend to focus on preventive maintenance. They'll rather fix when it's broke instead of preventive maintenance, and then it prevents the problem to happening, you know, at all.
Exactly, but we're not lazy by nature, Joel. We're conditioned to be lazy.
Yes, I suppose.
And that's the thing, right? We're conditioned to be lazy because you're not lazy.
No, right? But I mean, yeah, it's so true. But like as we grow, like when we're young teenagers, we tend to sit around doing, you know, we need a good kick in the butt to get going, and then later in life we get.
Do you know why that is?
Why?
Parents, I guarantee that your kids aren't going to be lazy if you keep up with what it is that you're doing.
It's true. They'll see it.
Right?
Lead by example.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, yes, all the time. There's parents out there, well, I'm overweight, so my kids are overweight. It's a genetic thing. Yeah, but so is alcoholism and all these other things. There's genetic predispositions there. But just because, you know, if I have a raging family of alcoholics and I decide, you know what, I'm going to do something about it, so I've abstained from alcohol, and then I raise my family like that, the probability of my children becoming alcoholic, it goes down because they're not exposed.
There's actually a statistic on that, Neil, and it's like staggeringly high how like the chance of them not drinking. If your parents don't drink, it's like 80% or something ridiculous. I don't know the exact number, but it's a really high number.
Yeah,
it's weird. Anyway, sorry.
So no, that's bang on. So what we're looking at is more behavioral than it is genetic. Genetics are there, but then you have what's called epigenetics, and it's the behavior and the environment. That's why this program is called nature versus, you know, nature takes you so far and then nurture takes you the rest of the way. And when we get right. So a lot of these chronic illnesses, these diseases that we're facing right now, a lot of them are it's nurture. Yeah. Nature has its hand, but it's nurture that pokes it. Like imagine if you grew up and you had a temper and, you know, as you get older and you get stronger, you have the propensity or the possibility to become meaner. And if you have someone there constantly poking you and nagging at you, the probability of you doing something and lashing out goes up because you have that antagonist, right? But the same goes for good health as well. If you have the antagonist there for good health, then you'll activate that gene. And then all of a sudden, right? So your children grow up not knowing what alcoholism is. They have children of their own. So they're even getting further removed. So we can literally breed illness out of our, right? The same ways we bred. Yeah, the same ways we bred it in. But that weight is just, it's a calling card. It's a symptom of all of this. But we do have the time because we find the time. We find the time to do this podcast. We find the time to create apps. We find the time to work out. Like it's just really, it's all about the priorities. And we need people to listen to podcasts like this and be part of communities like Insight so that they see the importance of it. So they don't feel guilty for taking 30 minutes out of their day to do a workout that Joel's posting. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And all of this just puts – and the part of this – part of it, is, I think, is being in the right mindset. So if you just go about your day busy, busy, and then you do what you have to do from morning till, you know, nighttime without being in the right mindset, probably you won't start these things. But if you're part of this – a group like this, which reminds you constantly
– poking you, pushing you.
Right. It's a habit. It takes a while to change your mindset, you know. So if you're exposed to this over and over and over, eventually it'll – you know, you'll do it on your own, but
it's second nature. Yeah.
For people that are struggling, you need to be exposed to new things. Cause isn't it 21 days? Isn't that the number for creating a new habit?
Yeah. There's all kinds of numbers thrown around, but it's a larger number.
So you basically need to be exposed to something for a longer period of time before you get in the, you know,
it's exactly like French immersion. What do you do to learn French? You get immersed in it.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, it's the same idea. What do you do to lose weight? You get around a bunch of people that are, you know, active and fit and working out and eating healthy. Like,
dude, guys,
the only reason to hang around with you guys.
Right. But Greg, like we were talking last night and, you know, the changes and things like that, that we're making to the app, and it's going to, you know, blow the doors off for so many people. But you were like, man, I could get involved with this. Like, this has got me written over it.
I'm doing it.
And, but the thing is you're right. It's mindfulness. If you're mindful about what you're putting in your body and what you're doing with your body, then mm-hmm. you're 85% there. Mm-hmm. You right. That allows you to live a good quality of life. Now, the level of fitness and the level of food that you're putting in your body, or the quality of food, can only enhance that. But right now, you know, for the majority of us, it's about creating a better you. Like, just let's get ourselves from out behind the eight ball. Mm. Let's get, you know, where I can put on a pair of jeans and feel good about what I'm wearing, as opposed to wearing what fits me. I get to wear what I want to wear, not mm-hmm. what fits me, not right. And I lived a life like that. Like, when I was overweight, I had a horrible self-image. It led to a speech impediment. Like, that was the road that I was going. Hmm. And, you know, my father was overweight. My mother was a smoker. I had a long lineage of alcoholism. Like, all of these things. I had as many factors against me as anybody else. But I also had those other genes, and I chose to activate those genes through repetition every single day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the community like Insight. And that's why we created this community. That's why we have this podcast, so that people see that it's not an acute fix. It's not a workout. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. And in order to have that lifestyle, you need to be in the community. Look at other communities that are healthier when it comes to chronic illness. Like, when you go to the Mediterranean and certain places in Asia, you know, these people are extraordinarily healthy because their community supports that, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. easy for them. Like, they don't know nutritional science like we do, or exercise physiology, but their environment supports it, right? Mm-hmm. Here, our environment does not support it, so we really have to know our ass from our elbow in order to navigate this landmine, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the secret here is just to get started. It's always more difficult to start. Once you start to see the results, it starts to sink in, and like, yeah, it's right. working. I'm getting right into it. But it's the start. It's the first week, the first 2 weeks. And that's why the first day. Yeah. That's why community like this is so great for the people that are just starting out. You know, they don't know what to do or where to go, and they lack the motivation and all that stuff. You hop in a group like this, and you get all this motivational stuff and all these ideas, and then it keeps you going until you can continue on your own.
Yeah. It's the, like, people want it, but they're scared of it. They're overwhelmed. They're uncertain. They're uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure I'm speaking for you as well, Joel. Is the hardest part about any workout is getting to the gym. It's getting the workout. Like, it's getting from the couch to the place that you're working out. It's getting from what's familiar to a place that's unfamiliar. But if you make that place, that thought process, that routine familiar, then all of a sudden, you know, COVID-19 comes in and shuts down all the gyms, and I'm like, oh my God, I miss it. Mm, right. Yeah. Whereas, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I got to go to the gym. Like, a community like this, and familiarity and comfort and support and information, all of a sudden it changes the way you articulate those things. And all of a sudden it's like, I want to go to the gym, not I have to. Right.
Or you start, or my gym is anywhere, right? I can work out anywhere, right? Like, I'd like to do it.
Oh, yeah, I want to work out. Yeah,
I've seen. Oh yeah, definitely. That's where I am now. It's not for me. It's no longer difficult. I crave it every day. And if I don't have it, I'm cranky. It's my thing, right? So I've seen myself go out camping, no running shoes, nothing, and I had crappy food the next day. So I just have to. I went running with sandals the next morning just to get the sweat going. I just needed to do something, right? So it gets to you after a while.
It does. It's addictive. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be doing a podcast on, like, over exercising which every trainer and every, you know, anybody worth their salt has gotten to that point at some stage where they've overtrained. So it's about finding that middle ground. But let's go back to the weight loss now.
Sure.
How about, you know, we change people's perspective of weight loss and say, okay, well, you know what? It's not about losing weight as it is about gaining health. Mm-hmm. right?
Like losing weight's a negative. Gaining health is a positive. It's much better.
Right.
Better.
Right. Right. So two objects can occupy the same space so that every time you gain a little bit of health, more physical performance, better blood work, you know, you feel better. You're more, you've got more energy. Your outlook on life is better. Those things have a number, you know, they'll take the place of the fat. Mm. They'll take a place of what it is that you're carrying that your yep. body does not want.
Yep.
Right. And I think in our society, we're too focused on losing weight yep. and we're not focusing on replacing the weight with better health.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And just like working out, it will become a thing where you want to do it.
Yeah, it's a celebration of your health, Joel. Exactly. People that are like a healthy dog wants to go for a walk where an unhealthy dog doesn't. If you're healthy, you're going to want to work out. You're going to want to exercise, whether it's yoga or running or, you know, lifting weights or whatever, you know, martial arts. Like there's a facet for you out there that connects with you on a different level. And it's a celebration of your health.
Yeah.
Look at how I can move.
Yeah.
Look
and you'll want to eat better too. Like good crappy food won't look so appealing to you anymore.
Right. And it does. And that's the absolute truth of it is, you know, these cheat days and all this other stuff. Like you're not looking for that. It's like when you find the perfect partner, you're like, okay, I'm all in. Like I'm not looking for the grass is greener on the other side. I'm not looking for a weekend where I can get a hall pass.
Yeah.
I'm happy where I am. Like I built this. This is me. Yeah. Right. And you can get to that point.
Yeah. It's almost like your taste buds gets accustomed to eating well. And then that's what you want after.
Yeah, it's a biochemical change.
But I'm sure you could treat yourself once in a while, guys. I mean, come on.
No, Greg. Sure. Greg, listen to me. Treat, not cheat.
Right, because I'm a big ice cream guy, and I don't know if I could ever give that up.
But you don't need to.
Right.
It's using it in moderation. It's finding out that balance, right? Like going out and buying a new Harley-Davidson motorcycle for yourself is perfectly fine if you can afford it. But if you're taking money from your mortgage or food from your table to buy a motorcycle, then that's irresponsible and you can't do it. You'll never be able to make the payments. Like it becomes a stressor. Right. You're cheating. That's cheating. But if you've saved up and you worked hard and you got that money in the bank, go do it.
Mm, I like it.
Right? And that bike will make you feel better. That's a part of you now. That's a reward. That's a treat. It's not
right. You'll be proud of it. Right.
Yeah. And you got to be careful. Words have power. So when you say I'm cheating, what you're doing is saying, okay, well, what I'm doing the other, you know, 6.5 days out of the week, I don't really want to be doing.
Man, I'm going to say I'm treating myself every time now. Every day, right? Treat myself.
No, but you got to earn the treat. You're right. You got to treat. You got to earn the treat, Craig.
You're right.
Right? And it's, you know, but it's funny though. People do think like that. True. Well, I deserve this, but do you? Right?
It's mm-hmm. funny. But, you think you're right. The mindset around losing weight is all negative. No wonder people fail. You got to lose the weight. You can't, I can't eat this today. I got to have a cheat meal. I got to deprive myself. Yeah. It's all just negative. Like I like the thought process of making it positive, replacing it with something healthy. Replacing it with treating yourself once in a while. That's way, way better.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's no such thing as an unhealthy food. Okay? There's just the unhealthy use of it. So there's foods that you can eat all, you know, a lot, and then there's foods you can eat a little, but there's no such thing as bad food. And when people say, Neil, I eat healthy food, I shut them down immediately. Like, God, I've been doing this over 20 years, guys. There is no such thing as a healthy food. There's a healthy relationship between you and food. A food can have a lot of nutrition, but it doesn't make it healthy, right? And people need to understand that. Peanut butter has a lot of nutrition, but if certain people eat peanut butter, they die.
That's true.
So peanut butter, right? So what makes a food healthy for you is your relationship to it. How do you use it? Is it fitting into your lifestyle? Is it complementing your goals? Does that make sense? Totally, yeah. Is that resonating? Yeah. Yeah.
So don't eat a tub of peanut butter. Dang it.
Right?
No, but it's great that you're saying all these things because there's not a lot of that language online. If you look, it's a lot of that negative stuff.
It is, yeah. Lose, replace, get rid of, you know, sacrifice. Yeah,
you don't see the other side of the coin.
Yeah, it's a lot of compartmentalizing eating. Like okay, you can intermittent fast and then you can eat what you want. And like it's not really teaching people. It's not looking at all aspects of it, Joel. You've got the physical element, mm-hmm. right? the activity, and that's what promotes growth. It's that stimulation. And if your body is fed well, it looks at activity and exercise as stimulation, not stress. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you've got the psychology of it. How you talk to yourself. Why are you eating that? Mm-hmm. Is that good for you in regards to, does that make you a better person? Are you eating for the person you want to be, or are you eating for the person that you are now, right? And I constantly play that through my head. And sometimes, you know, a piece of chocolate, that's healthier than the carrot, because really the chocolate is what I want right now. I've earned it, and I can sit down, I can relax. Like, I remember years ago having a cold beer at a baseball game with my son, and that beer, I was sitting there and I was relaxed, and I could feel my blood pressure was down, and I was just laughing, and it was great. That beer was probably healthier for me than any salad I could have been eating at that point.
For your brain, for your mind anyway, for your mental health.
For the mental right. health, but the mental health has an impact on your physical right. health, and vice right. versa. Mm-hmm. So we have a physical need for food, for nutrition, and we have a psychological need for nutrition. And the physical need for nutrition looks like macros and micros, like proteins, fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals. But the psychological nutrition usually revolves around price, smell, environment, taste, color, texture. Those types of things are that psychological nutrients. Mm-hmm. And right now we have more people eating for psychological benefit and not enough eating for physical benefit. Right. But when you hook up with a guy like Joel and he pushes your body starts to drive more Whoa. Towards the physical.
Hook
benefit.
Up with a guy like Joel and he pushes your body.
Right?
Joel, what are you doing over there, bud? Sorry.
36 minutes and we had
I know,
Greg
I'm for, gone. I'm gone.
We had Greg on track for 36 minutes. But physical activity helps to activate the body, so the body starts to have a voice again, and the body starts to crave more nutritious food because it kind of likes the activity. Yeah. But the thing is that if you don't give it that nutritious food, if you don't have access to it, or you don't have the support, or if you don't have people around you validating those thoughts, then what happens is the activity starts to go to the wayside, because the body's like, listen, dude, you're making me do all this stuff and you're not giving me what I need in order to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do it. It'd be like, you know, any one of your employers going to you and saying, listen, I want you to put in 10 extra hours a week, but I'm not going to pay you more for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Eventually you're going to quit.
Right, yeah. You don't
want
to do it.
Right. Right now. Yeah.
Why am I
no,
doing
you don't
this?
Want to do it. You're going to feel, yeah, I'm being taken for granted here.
Cool. Just side note, weight loss is searched on average a month in the U.S. between 100K and a million times.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest, for sure.
Wow.
It's a massive, massive industry, and it's a huge separating point in relationships as well. Weight, like, it's one of those things that you just don't talk about. Weight and finances in the family are the two biggest disruptors. Mm. Right? Because, you know, you've got mom always going on a diet and she makes it look horrible, so the father never wants to go on a diet, and the kids are watching their mother struggle trying to be healthy and the dad not giving a shit, and the kids are torn both ways. So you wonder why, you know, health with each generation is going down the shitter. It's going the opposite way,
wow.
right? Children born after the year 2000 are going to have a shorter life expectancy than their parents.
Wow.
Right? That's quite a legacy. Wow.
Another random fun fact for you guys is the keto diet is searched 1 million to 10 million times a month, potentially.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a fad. I wonder, quite fad, but it seems like it's pretty, we should leave diets for a whole nother talk, but it seems like it's pretty much just healthy eating though, isn't it? Keto diet?
No
carbs?
It depends. Dude, did you hear me like not even 8 minutes ago?
What? Where am I?
It's whether or not it fits the
right,
individual,
right?
So keto, like, the diet is not the answer. The relationship with the food is the answer. It's the anti-diet. It got nothing to do with diet or removing a macro or anything. It's, you know, my daughter eats more of a keto diet because she has Crohn's.
Right.
and it's helped her. She's recovered because of it. But I'm not eating keto because it doesn't suit my lifestyle. It doesn't suit my lifting. Like, it's just it's so the body will let you know based on the circumstances. So again, going back to the hammer analogy, you're painting your living room. Is a hammer a good tool for painting your living room? Right. But I could show you stacks of research that support the benefit of a hammer and how good it is as a tool.
Right.
But it's no good to you because you're not in that phase. Like, you don't need it for the renovation. Right. So this is where people like us, where this, the insight group, the apps, like everything that we're creating, we're here to guide people now. The tools are out there. The information is out there, but what pertains to them? What, you know, yes, I need to exercise, but why? Why do you need to exercise, right? You've got guys like Joel to be able to inspire you and tell you, okay, this is why you're exercising, right? Knowing that you need to exercise, like knowing that you need to be healthy, you ask anybody. They all know that, well, I need to get healthier. But yeah, why? Why aren't you doing it? And if you know why, then you'll do it. It's the reason why I do it, because I know why. I know what's going to happen if I don't. And right, personally, yes, you know, getting up at 4:30 in the morning and tracking my food and drinking all my water and all this stuff, it's not normal, but no way in shit is that hard. Watching my kids watch me deteriorate, forgetting the people I love most in this life, in the last 30 years of my life, as I get stricken with dementia, jabbing myself 3-4 times a day with a diabetic needle and constantly having to trace and track my glucose, right? Sleep apnea, cancer, those things are fucking hard.
You're right.
Right? Keeping track of your own shit is not hard, right? Going to the grocery store and buying food purposefully instead of just willy-nilly walking through the aisle.
That's on sale, yeah.
That's stupid, and stupid is hard.
Oh, I do it pretty good, I'm not going to lie.
Right? We all do. But it's only because we don't know any different.
I just said I do it pretty good, right? Too. It shouldn't be I do it pretty well. I don't prove my point. No, you're right, though. You're right, Neil.
You're awesome. Right? If we could teach Greg to read, then maybe there's hope.
So basically there's no excuse to not do it, really. If you really think about it, it's really you just got to prioritize that stuff. That's the way I put my workout. Whatever's going on in my day, I got to make space, even if it's half an hour, even if I don't have the equipment, I prioritize it. It's almost like you make it as a life or death situation, you'll find a way to do it.
Right.
Exactly. It's a relationship. Okay. So imagine if you exercising and eating right is telling your body that you love you. Okay. That you love it. Okay. It's going to stick around. So imagine this, if you get up every morning and the first thing that you do is you tell your significant other that you love them and that you appreciate everything that they do. Imagine you did that every day. Do you think that really down the road, do you think that you'd be divorced?
Probably not.
Like, probably not. Statistically, it would probably go down quite a bit. Or at least would help your chances,
anyway.
It would help your chances of staying together, right? So it's the same with your body. Like, your body loves to exercise. It loves to feel alive. Right. It loves good food, right? So if you did that on a daily basis, or not maybe every day, but if you did it more days than not, you'd have a pretty good relationship here. So the relationship is busted between your body and your mind, right? So if you neglected the person that lived with you, your significant other, and they just did what they did and you did what you did and there was never really an exchange of appreciation, or you didn't give a shit about them really. You just, they're there and they're not going anywhere. And that was the attitude. You can't leave me because we're too far in debt. We've put too much time into this. We've got kids. You can't go. You're trapped. That's a shitty ass relationship.
Yeah.
Right? But if you get up every morning, like a couple of weeks ago, I put a post up and it was, you know, every morning I get up and I make Jody a cup of coffee and I have her English muffin ready for her with her light cream cheese on it and is waiting for her. And most often than not, it's a note. And I've been doing that for 2 years. I didn't do that with my previous marriage. Right? There's a lot of things that you can learn from
failure. It's very true, man. You're right.
From failure, right? So I fixed that. And guess what I do now, you know, off the cuff is I contact my ex-wife. We talk daily, but every now and again, I'll throw her a little something like, you know what? I really appreciate you. You're a fantastic mother. You're a great friend. I love that you're in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And it's just like your body. It's going to go both ways. So if you treat it well, you're going to get it back.
Right.
Yep. It'll do what you ask it to do. Like it almost, Joel, it becomes a competition. Who can give more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's like, man, like, you know, he's always doing something for me. So I want to do stuff. So it becomes this tit for tat in a positive manner instead of a blow by blow. You know what I mean? Well, he went out the other night, so I'm going to go out the other night, you know, this night because, you know, I feel right. So it works. It works both ways. And you nailed it when you said that is eventually it becomes this game where your body wants to look what I can do. Aren't you happy? Like, you know, am I pleasing you? Am I making you happy? And then you're like, well, look at what I'm feeding you. Does that please you? Does that make you happy? And the body shows you this happiness through doing what it is that you want. And if you want a leaner, healthier physique, then the body just goes that way because it wants to please you. And it feels better doing that. You don't have to make your body healthy. You have to nurture it.
I like it.
Well said.
I like it a lot.
Cool.
So weight loss, the mindset, you got to keep it positive. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need the support and you need the experience. Like guys like us, you know, Greg, Joel, me, we've been around the block and we not only teach it, but we apply it in our own every day. Like we're not hypocrites. And I think that's a big, big thing out there is you've got a lot of people that are just trying to sell stuff instead of trying to help people, like to
right,
educate
the hacks,
people,
like
right?
You said.
Yeah,
you and your glass there again. He's moving his glass around. I hear him.
Sorry, guys. trying to be healthy here,
dude. You need one of those beer hats with water, hey, just so you can take a sip every time you eat it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We're gonna
my podcast.
We'll get Joel a Camelback.
Yeah,
his podcast. Yeah.
Perfect idea.
There you go.
That's what we need, just to sell a bunch of those so people have water all the time.
There you go.
Just a really endless supply of water. Just
But right again, it's getting people to understand, like, look at the amount of water that you're drinking now, Greg. Whereas,
I can't
like,
believe
two weeks
it.
Ago,
I actually can't believe that
be,
I didn't do it. It's like
right?
Now that I drink more water, I'm like, man, how did I not do this? Like my body needs this. I don't understand.
Right. But people always know that they, you know, Neil, I need water. I have to drink water. But it's not until they start to understand the actual impact when they're educated, when they're enlightened and empowered that they start to, okay, now you're doing it on your own. Like every time we have a meeting online, man, you've got that boot
right
glass
here.
And you're
right here,
drowning
man.
It.
The and moves. It's the boot. I needed the push. I needed the reminder. I needed the, hey, drink your water. Oh, you're right. I gotta start drinking my water.
Right.
It's exactly what I needed.
Yeah. And the whole community. And it literally washed through the whole community. Like the whole online insight community was supporting one another. They're all posting, okay, I hit my mark today. And like stuff like that, that's nice. And it puts it in your mind space. And if it's in your mind space and it stays there long enough, it grows roots. Just like bad thoughts, good thoughts
absolutely
can root in there
love
as
it
well.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I think we're well past the 30-minute mark, but that was good. Great conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Great, guys. Okay, so let's call it a night, and we'll put this out to you guys, the listeners, and just be sure to comment, share it, and keep your eyes open for Insight Online. We're making our moves, man. We're going to be quite a force.
Same here.
I'm pleased. Okay, good.
See you.
All right,
good night,
guys.
Yep.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.